Hello friends, we are on chapter 23. In the previous chapter, we discussed about the fair practices code. And in this fair practices code, one important aspect was about how a recovery agent should deal with the borrower. Now this particular chapter is on the guidelines on recovery agents engaged by the bank. We have heard various instances of recovery agents using various tactics to recover whatever money from the borrowers in turn for commission they get out of the recovery. But here comes the issue of whether they can go to any extent, whether they can harass the borrower to any extent. And that's where in this guidelines came into the picture. The basic objectives of these guidelines are to understand the specific considerations a bank should take into account while engaging a recovery agent. So in this chapter, we are going to see the bank will have to carefully choose its recovery agency. That's not all. Whoever are going to deal with the customers, borrowers for recovering, they need to be properly trained into what type of methods that can be used. Your recovery tactics cannot be illegal. It cannot be uncivilized. That is what the training would be about. And this will bring into more and more clarity into what a recovery agent should be doing for recovery from the borrower. Now, a very important aspect of this guidelines is specific advice given to the bank. Banks are advised to take into account specific considerations while engaging the recovery agents. The first and the most important thing banks are advised to do is to do a due diligence process in place, or to follow a due diligence process for selecting a recovery agent. Next important thing bank should do is to inform the borrower the details of the recovery agency firms, companies, so that the borrower is aware as to which recovery agent is going to come for him for recovery. Generally, anyone can pose that is a danger to the borrower. And so here, not only the bank will follow a due diligence process for selection of recovery agency, but bank will also in turn intimate the borrower as to which recovery agents are appointed by it for recovery. Bank should ensure that there is tape recording of the content, the text of the calls made by the recovery agents to the customer. So there is a proper evidence as to how the transactions between the recovery agent and the borrower actually takes place. Secondly, banks are also advised to keep up-to-date details of the recovery agency firms engaged by the bank and may also be posted on the bank's website. So this is a proper place where anyone can actually view what agencies are appointed by the bank for recovery. When a grievance has been lodged by the borrower, bank should not forward the cases to recovery agency till they have finally been disposed of the grievance. So here comes bank's personal involvement in ensuring that the grievances are actually resolved satisfactorily. Each bank should have a mechanism whereby the borrower's grievance with regard to recovery process can be addressed. So based on the type of advances, banks will have its own recovery procedure and this will be properly informed to the recovery agencies. Next important question comes about the incentives that are to be paid to the recovery agents. Banks are here again advised to ensure that the contracts with the recovery agents do not include adoption of uncivilized, unlawful and questionable behavior or recovery process. So this aspect has to be kept in mind. It has to be on the human grounds. A humanly treatment should be given. The recovery agent should not go to any extent for the sake of getting commission out of the recovery, and any extent includes they are not supposed to actually go adopt uncivilized, unlawful and questionable behavior which will create great harm to the borrowers. To understand this aspect of recovery process, the bankers are required to provide training for recovery agents so that the recovery agent has no complaints that they were not aware about the intentions of the bank towards recovery process, and hence every recovery agent has to undergo a standard training program and also get a certification in this process. So there are the contents that are designed and there are the certifying agencies also prescribed for giving certification to such recovery agents. Reserve Bank has requested the Indian Banks Association to formulate in consultation with another important entity in banking, that is Indian Institute of Banking and Finance, a certificate course for direct recovery agents with minimum of 100 hours of training. So this 100 hours of training would be so comprehensive that any person who wants to become a recovery agent will understand all the legalities, all the procedures, all the code of conduct that needs to be followed by the recovery agent during the recovery process. And this course is none other than IIBF, which takes guidance from IBA and the government. Banks should ensure that all recovery agents undergo the above training and obtain the certificate from the above institute. Further, the service providers engaged by the bank should also employ only such personnel who have undergone the above training and obtained the certificate from the IIBF. So IIBF has maintained a very good standard, and anyone who does actually get certified with this certificate of recovery agent is having a fair knowledge about what the recovery process should be. So it's a good initiative by Reserve Bank of India, the Indian Banks Association, as well as IIBF, towards establishing best practices for recovery agents while dealing with the borrowers for recovery. Next important thing is who should provide this training. So it has been decided that the banks can have their own training centers for providing training. A large number of agents throughout the country may have to be trained, and hence other institutions or banks' own training colleges may provide the training. Other institutions, when we talk about this, can be specialized institutions which take approvals regarding their capabilities of providing such training. And this training can be provided to recovery agents by having a tie-up arrangements with Indian Institute of Banking and Finance. So Indian Institute of Banking and Finance will also understand what type of institutes are available for training, what contents they have actually designed, so that there is a uniformity and standard in training, and every agent will have to pass examination conducted by IIBF. So it doesn't matter the recovery agent takes training from the bank or any other specialized institute, but the ultimate certificate can be issued only after passing the exam that is conducted by a neutral body, that is IIBF, Indian Institute of Banking and Finance. Taking possession of property, mortgage, hypothecated by banks. So here comes another aspect when it comes to recovery. Once the first step is over of having some verbal communication with the borrower, the recovery agent may go to an extent of lifting the assets for recovery. So he has to follow certain norms here again. Recovery of loans or seizures or vehicles could be done only through legal means. You cannot actually use illegal means for recovery. The Securitization and Reconstruction of Financial Assets and Enforcement of Security Interest Act 2002 and the Security Interest Enforcement Rules 2002 have laid down well-defined procedures not only for enforcing security interests but also for auctioning the mobile and immobile property after enforcing the security interests. So it is better to follow these rules which have been well codified, and rather than following any unorthodox or any special methods of their own by the recovery agent. They are bound by law and they cannot use their own law or they cannot use their own methods. They have to comply with the provisions that are provided in specially established law for recovery. Then there is an important clause which we call as a repossession clause. Banks should rely only on legal remedies available under the relevant statutes while enforcing the security interests without intervention of the courts. Where banks have incorporated a repossession clause in the contract, then this repossession clause is with the contract with the borrower, and rely on such repossession clause for enforcing the rights, they should ensure that the repossession clause is legally valid. So this legally valid requires a lot of things to look into it. It complies with the provision of Indian Contract Act in letter and spirit and ensures that such repossession clause is clearly brought to the notice of the borrower at the time of execution of the contract itself, and when the bank goes for possessing the assets, he should not be taken aback with a surprise. Then we look at the terms and conditions of the contract should be clearly, strictly in terms of the recovery policy, and should contain provisions regarding the notice period before taking possession. The circumstances under which the notice period can be waived, the procedures for taking possession of the security, the final chance to be given to the borrower for repayment of loan before the sale or auction of the property, the procedure for giving repossession of the borrower, and the procedure for sale or auction of the property. So these are very important points to be looked into whenever we actually go through the terms and conditions of the contract, especially when these are based on standard recovery policies. Yet another important guideline for the banks is, as far as possible, when the loans are below a certain amount, say less than 10 lakhs, then the bank should adopt the policies or procedures for recovery through the forum such as Lok Adalats. Banks are advised to use the forum of Lok Adalats. These are organized by the civil courts for recovery of loans. Banks are encouraged to use the forum of Lok Adalats for recovery of personal loans, credit cards, loans for housing, if the outstanding is less than rupees 10 lakhs. And this is famously decided by Honorable Supreme Court. Utilization of credit counselors. Banks are encouraged to have in place an appropriate mechanism to utilize the services of the credit counselors. These credit counselors specifically look into the behavioral aspects of the borrowers and give them some useful advice as to how they can come out of this particular default. And when this borrower gets such type of counseling, then he will not only try to pay out the money that is outstanding, but it will also increase his mind, that is what we call as the mental health. Banks are encouraged to have in place an appropriate mechanism to utilize the service of credit counselors for providing suitable counseling to the borrowers, because when the borrower comes to that situation, he is in a disturbed, depressed position. So here the credit counselor can help him to come out of all those confusions, chaos, and where it becomes aware that the case of particular borrower is of sympathetic consideration, then this should be actually brought to the notice of the bank, who may be in a position to provide some sort of help to the borrower to come out of his financial crisis. Then how to handle the complaints against the banks, its recovery agents. Banks as principals are responsible for the actions of the agent. And here comes the importance, that is the reason they have to train their recovery agents. And in spite of this, if there are any mistakes done by the recovery agents, the final ultimate liability comes on the banks who actually deploy the services of recovery agents. Banks should ensure that their agents engaged for recovery of the dues should strictly adhere to the guidelines and instructions, including the BCSBI code. While engaged in the process of recovery of dues, banks should also ensure that their employees are also adhere to the guidelines during the loan recovery process. So this is a very important aspect, especially when we handle complaints against the bank or its recovery agents. What happens to the complaints received by Reserve Bank of India? So some complainants may directly report such complaints to Reserve Bank of India. Complaints received by Reserve Bank of India regarding the violation of recovery guidelines and adoption of the abusive practices followed by banks or recovery agents are viewed very seriously by Reserve Bank of India. Reserve Bank of India may consider imposing a ban on the bank from engaging a recovery agents in a particular area, either jurisdiction or functional, for a limited period. In case of persistent breach of guidelines, Reserve Bank may also consider extending the period of ban or the area of ban, and similar supervisory action could be attracted when the High Courts or the Supreme Court pass strictures or impose penalty against any banks or directors, officers, agents with regard to the policy, practice and the procedure related to the recovery process. All this, whether implemented in through spirits or not, that for knowing this, there has to be a periodical review. Banks engaging recovery agents are advised to undertake a periodical review of the mechanism to learn from experience, to effect improvements, and also to bring to the notice of Reserve Bank of India suggestions for improvement in the guidelines. So based on whatever experiences, if bank faces any difficulty, if banks have any reasons to say for improvement of the overall recovery procedures which can be useful for RBI to circulate it with various member banks, that can happen only after periodic review. And if such outcomes are received by the bank, they can also inform the Reserve Bank of India for bringing into notice of other banks or make it as a policy guideline. Thank you.